Thank you so much, Mark. You're all welcome to the Bible study today. Yes, next time it might be honest to lead in worship. Yeah. But the Lord appreciates anything that is offered to him, as long as it is done with the right heart. All right? Yeah. So we are continuing our Bible study using Rick Joyner's book, The Final Quest. And as you all know, we are using the 2010 e-edition. And the copyright information page is our page one. All right? The last time we are here, our topic was, how to be godly whistleblowers. All right? And in summary, we said that it is very godly to speak out against leaders whose actions and teachings are contrary to the fundamental doctrines of the faith. Paul did so against Peter's behavior in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 to 14. However, truth must be spoken in love. All right? Essentially, that's what we learned the last time we were here. Today, our topic is unto the Lord. Basically, what that means is that whatever we do, it should primarily be unto the Lord. Okay? Primarily, the Lord, not people, and not for ourselves, but to the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Our theme scripture is Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. If you have your Bible, open there. Are you there? Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. It says that, and whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward or the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. All right? So, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to men. And to men includes yourself. Not to you, not to other people, but unto the Lord. And it says that by doing so, you will receive the reward or the inheritance. Okay? Why? For you serve the Lord Christ. You did it unto him. All right? Whatever you do, let it be unto the Lord, not unto you first and foremost, not unto people first and foremost, but unto the Lord first and foremost. And when you do that, there is a reward for that. All right? These are the things we say, I think, every day in LAT. Somehow, that is talked about, I guess. Okay? So, let's open the final quest. Page 58. Page 58. Yeah, we're going to read pages from page 58. And some portions on page 59 and 60. So, there is there's a section there on page 58 entitled "The Writer's Remorse." You seen it? Oh, yeah. So we're going to read from there. Now, Rick Joyner meets a writer in heaven. You know that, of course, the writer had passed on. So he was in heaven. But one thing we have to know as we read this portion is that the writer is in the low ranks. in heaven. All right? He's in low ranks in heaven. So, Rick Joyner says that I kept moving until I saw a man I considered to be one of the greatest writers of all time. I had counted his insights into the truth to be possibly the greatest I had ever encountered in all my studies. Sir, I have always looked forward to this meeting, I blurted out. As I have, he replied with genuine sincerity. I was surprised by his comment, but I was so excited to meet him that I continued. I feel that I know you, and in your writings I felt like you somehow knew me. I think I owe more to you than to anyone else who was not canonized in Scripture. You're very gracious, he replied, but I am sorry that I did not serve you better. I was a shallow person, and my writings were shallow, filled with more worldly wisdom than divine truth. I know what you're saying must be true because you can only speak the truth here, I told him. Yet it is hard for me to understand. I think your writings are some of the best that we have on earth. You are right, this famous writer admitted with sincerity. It is so sad. Everyone here, even those who sit closest to the king, would live their lives differently if they had them to live over. But I think I would live mine even more differently than most. I was honored by kings, but failed the King of Kings. You see it? He did what? He failed the King of Kings. Okay? That means that he didn't really serve the Lord Christ as he should have. Eh? Okay? Then he continues and says, I used the great gifts and insights that were given to me to draw men more to myself and my wisdom than to him. All right? Okay? He used the insights and the gifts God gave him to draw men to who? To himself. So what he did it unto himself. Okay? You know, eh? Little unto the Lord. Okay? Or for the Lord. He continues and says, besides, I only knew him by the hearing of the ear, which is the way I compelled other men to know him. I made them dependent on me and on others like me. Okay? You see it again? He made people dependent on who? On him. Eh? Yet people are supposed to be made dependent on God. Hmm? Or on the Lord. You see, eh? So people are supposed to be drawn to the Lord, to be dependent on him. And this writer, okay, made people to depend on him, on a human being. And that is what? Very sad. Okay? Right now, in Kampala, Uganda, and I think I observed this thing since like early last year, eh? When people, okay, you could see it's like a good number of, well, a few preachers, not many, a few, eh? We are making people dependent, eh? Dependent on them and not unto the Lord. Eh? To the extent that that people started saying, and they still say it, that everything God ever wanted to give them, he placed them in, placed everything in one individual. You see, so I began to hear these things. I began to read them, and I was like, "Now, trouble! What? We have entered trouble zone." And people believe those what? The statements. Eh? And in a sense, the preachers, you know, they're talking about are to blame. Eh? Because these preachers, you can see there was encouragement, okay? Encouragement for people to really believe that they're supposed to depend on preachers instead of the Lord. Okay? People stopped reading the Bible, studying the Bible. People stopped seeking the Lord, you know, because everything was in an individual. So why seek the Lord, yet you can get it from a human being? You understand? Anyway, so that is what happened, and it is still happening now. Okay? So this guy says, I made them dependent on me and on others like me. I turned them more to deductive reasoning than to the Holy Spirit, whom I hardly knew. I did not point men to Jesus, you see? Okay? He continued, but to who? To myself and others like me who pretended to know him. So he repeats it. Okay? So whatever I was doing, it wasn't unto the Lord. It was for himself. Okay? Yet, we have read in Colossians chapter 3, our theme scripture, that whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. Okay? Not to anyone else, including you. And it says, knowing that from the Lord, you will receive the reward of the inheritance. So when you do something for the Lord and to the Lord, okay, God says that you receive a reward. Eh? Okay? So this man pointed men not to Jesus, but to himself. Okay? And that's why in heaven, he's of low rank. Meaning that in a sense, he did not receive the reward or the inheritance. Okay? The status every one of us will have in heaven, you know, will be part of the reward or the inheritance. Okay? So this gentleman missed it and we should learn from him. Eh? Okay? So he says, I did not point men to Jesus, he continued, but to myself and others like me who pretended to know him. When I beheld him here, I wanted to grind my writings into powder, just as Moses did with a golden calf. My mind was my idol, and I wanted everyone to worship my mind with me. Okay? So again, you see, he wanted everyone to do what? To worship his mind. Eh? Okay, so again, it is not worshiping the Lord. But he's a Christian. Eh? Okay? Then he continues and tells Rick Joyner that your esteem for me does not cause me to rejoice. If I had spent as much time seeking to know him as I did seeking to know about him, in order to impress others with my knowledge, many of those who are in this lowest of companies would be sitting in the thrones that were prepared for them, and many others would be in this room. Okay? So he says he spent time, okay, in order to impress others, okay, with his knowledge. So, he wasn't seeking to impress the Lord. You know, it was to impress others so that people can be impressed with him. So again, you see, he was doing things not as unto the Lord, but to what? To himself. Okay? All right? Yet, once again, Colossians 3:23, scripture says that whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. Eh? Men includes people and yourself. Eh? Okay, then he says, if you do that, you will receive the reward or the inheritance. for you serve the Lord Christ. So this writer, on page 58, the final quest, he's in low rank. Okay, so in a sense, he didn't receive a reward. If he received, it was so little. Why? Because whatever he was doing, his great writing was not unto the Lord, but unto himself. Can you imagine a great writer, man, like you get a book, wow, eh? Great book, eh? You recommend it to people, eh? Okay? And man, eh? You know, eh? In heaven, God is like, that book is not mine. Because someone wrote it, not for my name's sake, but they just wanted to impress you with their what? Knowledge, eh? Knowledge, eh? You know, eh? Their knowledge, their great writing skills, eh? Okay? All right? So, yeah, and that was sad, all right? Now, we are supposed to learn from these people, eh? Okay? Rick Joyner was told to write this book so that people can learn from the stories of those who have gone on ahead of us, eh? All right? So, we have a great opportunity to really rank high in heaven. You understand? Any one of us, everyone who has ever, you know, heard of the book, The Final Quest, and read it, they have no reason why they should be low ranking in heaven. All right? A few years, like 2 years ago, I was told that if I want to be great in heaven, I should master this book called The Final Quest by Rick Joyner. All right? And you too, you should do that. Okay? Do things not as unto men, but as unto the Lord. This guy says, okay? He says he was drawing men more to himself, and his wisdom than to the Lord. Most of the books that have been written in this world, only God, and I guess those who he reveals these things to, only him, and those people know the real motive for those books. Sadly, man, and may you not be, join that class where you write things and God says, those are yours. Okay? So, now let's turn to page 59. Page 59, as we continue this story of this writer. Page 59, paragraph 7. Paragraph 7, he says, Rick Joyner writes and says, that I could not help reflecting on the beautiful and articulate phrases that this man had written. He was the epitome of a wordsmith. I wish I could be a wordsmith, man. The epitome of a wordsmith, a craftsman who turned words into works of art. But here he was speaking as a common man, without the flair for which his writings were so well known. So he was, really talented, but he used it to draw attention to himself, okay, and not to the Lord, okay? So he didn't receive the reward or the inheritance. That's why he was among those who were lowly ranked in heaven. Okay? Now, page 60. Okay, page 60, paragraph 2. As the lessons from this man come to a close. Paragraph 2, this man tells Rick Joyner, he tells him, study to show yourself approved unto God, not men. Okay, study to show yourself approved unto God, not men. This scripture I know Rachel doesn't know, but the man just quoted a scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Okay? Study to show yourself approved unto God. You see it? Unto who? Unto God, not men. Okay? Don't study so that you can impress people with knowledge. Okay? There's someone in this room who right now is studying history. Okay? Don't study to be approved by humans. Okay? But study, okay, to show yourself approved unto God, not men. All right? That study, the word study in the NKJV, it is translated as be diligent. Hmm? Be diligent. Hmm? Let's open it. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. In NKJV it says, be diligent to present yourself, okay, approved to God, okay? A worker who does not need to be ashamed. You see, a worker, okay? A worker who does not need to be ashamed. Eh? If you're not diligent to present yourself approved to God, you know, your master, you as a worker, you will one day be ashamed. That is in heaven, eh? You know, before the judgment seat of Christ, you will be ashamed. Okay? If you're not diligent, okay, to present yourself approved to God, if your whole ambition is to present yourself, is to be approved by men, eh? By human beings, eh? They will approve you, yes, eh? But one day you realize that it was all in vain. It didn't really matter, you know, eh? If you don't get approved by God. Okay? You see, Colossians 3:23 says, you know, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. Eh? All right? And this one is saying you are a worker. Okay? You know, do your best to be approved by God so that you're not ashamed on that day. Like this great writer was, eh? When you go to heaven and man, eh? You know, the hero on earth was a zero in heaven. Glory be to God. So, whatever we do, let us do it as unto the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward or the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You don't serve yourself. You don't serve people, you know, with the exclusion of God. We're called to serve people, eh? But if you're serving them with the exclusion of God, or so that, you know, eh, all the attention will be drawn to you, it is nothing. And you will not receive the reward or the what? Or the inheritance. All right? Glory be to God. Okay? So that ends our reading from the final quest today. All right? All right? So, we're going to go in the Bible and we see with examples, eh, of people who did things for themselves and not unto the Lord, and the consequences. Eh? Okay? Of course, from the final quest, we see the ultimate consequence is not getting a reward. Okay? Being of low rank for all eternity. Okay? So in the Bible, we're going to see people or examples of those who did things primarily for either themselves or for other people. Well, instead of seeking first and foremost, you know, to please the Lord, to do His will. And they decided to do their own things or to do things for people, you know, instead of for the Lord. All right? Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. Genesis 11 talks about those guys who built the tower of what? Babel or Babel? Judith, what? Babel. Okay. Okay. Verse 1, it says, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. All right? It had what? One language and one speech. Now let's read from verse 4 to 8. Verse 4 says, and they, those people, said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves. Have you seen them? Let us do what? Make a name for ourselves. You know, things, you know, when you walk with the Lord and you start, when you read a thing like that, you're like, what? Will this guy is real? You know, it's kind of, you know, to some people it's a normal thing, Yeah, because all life is about you, Okay? But this guy is saying, you know, let us make a name for our what? Ourselves. Okay? Let us make a name for ourselves. The whole power of building a tower, you know, Genesis 11 was number one, to make a name for themselves. Okay? For us, it could be, again, to make a name for our family. You know, the Unzarubaras, the Kansimes. It's good if the name just comes, you understand? But if you set out to make a name, you know, man, this is exactly what these guys did, Okay? So they say, let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of all the earth. Okay? So, they wanted to make a name for themselves, alright? Then, they got a project, You know, to rally people, You know, a project which is not of God, alright? So that with this thing, then people, we shall be united in this cause. You know, to rally people around something. Okay? Verse 5 says, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one. And they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down, and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there, over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Okay? So what became of their work? What became of their work? What became of their work? The thing, you know, it ended into nothing. Why? Because the thing had no God in it. All right? And that's what happens. Every time we do something, you know, just for ourselves, not as unto the Lord, okay, it will come to nothing. Ultimately, like this writer in page 58, from in page 58, 59, and 60, okay, that great writer, okay, he used God's talents, the talents God had given him, the gift of writing, the gift of a great mind. He used it to draw attention and worship to himself. Okay? Ultimately, it came to nothing when he got to heaven. That is why he was of low rank in heaven. Okay? So, these guys also, they decided to build a tower to make a name for themselves. Okay? And the Lord destroyed it. It came to nothing. All right? Okay? So, that is one example of people who did things not as unto the Lord, but unto themselves. And the result is always sure. Ultimately, we might not see it on earth. Okay? But in heaven, the whole thing will come to nothing. You realize, okay, you did nothing. All right? How many of you have read the book by Anna Rontree? The Priestly Bride? Huh? What book is that? There are two. Anyway, but there's this one, but there's one, most probably the one which most of some of you have read, where there was this angel called Crystal Clear. You know, all angels have names. You know that, eh? Okay? All angels have names, just like all human beings have names. So this angel was called Crystal Clear. You've read it? You should read that book, Bridget. It's a great book. Okay? Yeah, Anna Rontree. So this angel was called Crystal Clear. So she takes Anna, the angel takes Anna Rontree to a beach, eh? Okay, a beach. And then she tells him, if I remember right, the angel tells her to start building sand castles, castles with sand. Okay? And you know, of course, sand what? Well, castles come to nothing. A wave just comes, you understand? And say, yeah, you know, you build them, you play. You know, because that is what you love doing on earth. You like building what? Sand castles. So you build. You understand? See, because that's what you like doing on earth. And the angel, remember, she's called what? Crystal Clear. So she's giving her the message crystal clearly. You understand? She said, yeah, that's what you like doing. As in, you guys, you're on earth, you don't know that you're just building sand castles. Sand castles. Things which, you know, won't last in eternity. Eh? You know, you're just there, just building sand castles. Say, Now, the opportunity has come. You build them. Okay? Projects, you know, things where it is unto you, it is for you. You know, and the angel told her, those are sand castles. One day they are all going to be blown away. They are going to come to nothing. Like this tower. All right? Okay? Things they're trying to build so that you can be known, so that people can also see you're so great, you're somebody. So that people can stop passing eyes through you. You know, I'm going to show these in-laws of mine. They think I'm not great. I'm going to show them what I'm made of. You know, So you start doing things. You're not doing them for the Lord, but somehow to make a point to your enemies, in-laws. Okay? The Bible says if you do that, Colossians 3:24, you will not receive the reward or the inheritance. But it says in verse 23 that whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Okay? This great writer, in the final quest, God gave him a great mind, okay? Great skills to write, and he used them for himself, basically to draw attention to himself, for people to worship him, how great he is, okay? And in heaven, he was of low rank. Okay? Again, we have seen human beings, you know, here in Genesis 11, they did it. Build a tower, and they said it clearly. These days, some of us, we hide it. We don't say it. We just say it in our hearts. But when you know whatever you're doing, it is to make a name. Okay? And God looks at the heart. Okay? There's some book I read that our thoughts are heard louder in heaven than even our words. You've read something like that? Thoughts are heard louder. So, if thoughts are heard louder, that means that if there's a project we have embarked on to make a name for ourselves, but because we are born again, you don't say it, but you know, according to God, you have said it. And what's going to happen? That thing is going to be destroyed, like the Tower of Babel. It might not be destroyed now. You might even die and you leave it. But in heaven, you just say, those were sand castles. Okay, God might send you crystal clear. You know, All right? Okay, so let us not try do things primarily for ourselves or for people, with the exclusion of the Lord. You understand? Things should be done first and foremost for the Lord. All right? First Samuel. Okay, there's this guy called who? Called Saul. Okay? Saul. Okay, this guy was living for people, not for the Lord. And it cost him a lot. Okay? King Saul, Okay? 1 Samuel chapter 13. 13. We shall read 1 Samuel 13 from verse 7. Verse 7 to 14. Verse 7. It says that, and some of the Hebrews crossed over the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. Then he waited 7 days, according to the time set by Samuel, the prophet. Okay? Samuel previously had told him to wait for him. Says 7 days, I'm coming. Alright? It says in verse 8, then he, Saul, waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from Saul. So Saul said, bring a burnt offering and peace offerings here to me. And he offered the burnt offering. Saul wasn't a priest, so he wasn't supposed to offer the burnt offering. This work was supposed to be done by Samuel, the prophet. Okay? So Saul was supposed to wait for him. Okay? Yes, the seventh day had arrived, but the seventh day hadn't ended. So he was supposed to continue to wait. Okay? Now, verse 10, it says, now it happened as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering that Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him that he might greet him. And Samuel said, what have you done? Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering. Okay? You know why he did it? It's because he saw people scattering from him. So what he did, it was not earned to the Lord. You understand? He was moved to do it because people, man, were scattering. People were leaving. People were leaving LAT. Okay? Then, man, the guy said, you know, discarded God's instructions. So you see, Saul was, you know, living for people. Okay? And you know what happened? Okay? In verse 13, it says that, and Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. This means that every time you live, you know, you do things as unto the Lord, as unto people, instead of as unto the Lord, you are doing foolishly. You're building sandcastles. Okay? Then he says, you have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. Okay? Why won't your kingdom continue? It's because what you did was not as unto the Lord, but unto men and yourself. You saw people scattering, and then you decided to disobey what the Lord clearly told you. Okay? Just imagine, you're the pastor of LAT. God gave you an instruction. Okay? Then, man, you stand on the instruction, then man, people start scattering. And the only reason why they are scattering is because of the instruction. Then you twist there, you understand? Or you change the command and you start saying other things so that people can what? Okay? Those who are still around can remain, and maybe the other ones can, they're still near, they can what? Return. And now God says, I was even going to give you more people, the whole kingdom, but now it is taken away from you. Okay? Okay? Whatever we do, let us do it first and primary as unto the Lord, not unto men. Okay? Knowing that we will receive the reward or the inheritance, for we serve the Lord Christ. That is Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Okay? So now in the context of LAT, it means since we are doing things as unto the Lord, okay, we're going to get a reward. You understand? Okay? You keep to your guns even when people are what? Scattering. Okay? God says, yeah, now that's a tick. Okay? Saul missed it. Okay? So, in your own life, okay, the most important thing, whatever you do, first, seek the will of God about the matter. And when you get to know the will of God, man, just run with it. Who are your best friend, chickens? You understand? It is between you and the Lord. If you cave in because of your best friend, because of your whatever, man, okay, the consequences can be, might not be on earth, okay, but one day, you understand, crystal clear will come to you. And she said, you build sandcastles. Okay? You will be of low rank in heaven, like our famous great writer. You okay? In the final quest. All right? This guy, Saul, just people. People are scattering, man. You know, and if you are a human being, you can understand him, man. you know, if you're human, if you are, you know, if you live on this planet. But God is like, for me, I don't understand. You know, my word takes preeminence over what you guys think. Hallelujah. All right? Now, this David, let's open 1 Samuel chapter 30. David was faced with actually a tougher situation where he was going to be stoned by people. You know, as it's for Saul, people are just scattering. But here, people are here and actually they're going to kill you. You know, but David, man, for him was like, no. He's like, I have to seek, you know, God's opinion on the matter. Saul gave in, you know, yet he even wasn't going to be slapped. Yeah? But the guy was going to be killed. Said, you know, of course, it was tough, but he was like, you guys, I'm going to seek, you know, the will of God on the matter. Okay, First Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. Okay, it says that now David was greatly distressed. You understand? It wasn't easy. David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. Because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. People's families had been captured, taken. You understand? And they're like, we're going to stone you. You're the cause. Okay? But then you say, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? The troop which had taken their what? Families. Okay? Guys were going to kill him, man. So guys were not going to kill him. They were just leaving him. And say, man, you guys don't go. You offered a sacrifice. He wasn't a priest. And it cost him a kingdom. Okay? David was going to be stoned. He could have let guy, you know. Then say, God, now what is your opinion? What should I do? Now, we should be like David. Where we seek to do the will of the Lord. First and foremost, to do the will of God, not the will of human beings. All right? 1 Samuel chapter 14. Let's read another thing, you know, about Saul. How people, man, you know, people, man, used to what? The guy was, how do chicks call that thing? Around the little finger, What? With some guys, Ramped around the little finger, Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 14. From verse 24. Okay? Now, verse 24 says, you see, these guys are in war, There's a battle going on. And verse 24 says, and the men of Israel, you know, were distressed that day, for Saul had placed the people under oath, saying, cursed is the man who eats any food until evening. Okay? Cursed is what? The man who eats what? Any food. Verse 25. Now all the people of the land came to a forest, and there was honey on the ground. And when the people had come into the woods, there was the honey dripping, but no one put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan is Saul's son, had not had his father charge the people with the oath. Therefore, he stretched out the end of the rod that was in his hand and dipped it in a honeycomb and put his hand to his mouth, and his countenance brightened. So the guy was refreshed. All right? Let's jump to verse 36. Verse 36. Now, one thing we have to know is that, okay, we have seen Jonathan ate the what? Honey. Eh? Okay? And his father had said, cursed is the person who does what? Who eats anything. Verse 36, it says that now Saul said, let us go down after the Philistines by night and plunder them until the morning light. And let us not leave a man of them. And they say, do whatever seems good to you. Then the priest said, let us draw near to God here. So Saul asked counsel of God, shall I go down after the Philistines? Will you deliver them into the hand of Israel? But he did not answer him that day. God did not what? Answer him. Okay? The reason why I believe why he didn't answer him is because, okay, an oath, you know, he had sworn an oath, okay, and someone had eaten, okay, and now God expected Saul to do what? To act. You know, an oath, God is saying, you say this, now someone has done this. So he didn't answer. Okay? Verse 38, and Saul said, come over here, all you chiefs of the people, and know and see what this scene was today. For as the Lord lives, who saves Israel, though it be in Jonathan, my son, he shall surely die. You've heard the guy. Okay? But not a man among all the people answered him. Never see the car. Okay, because they knew that man, your words are going to catch up with you. Then he saw, say to all Israel, you be on one side, and my son and Jonathan, and I will be on the other side. And the people say to Saul, do what seems good to you. Therefore, Saul said to the Lord God of Israel, give a perfect lot. Saul and Jonathan were taken, but the people escaped. And Saul said, cast lots between my son, Jonathan, and me. So Jonathan was what? Taken. Then Saul said to Jonathan, tell me what you have done. And Jonathan told him and said, I only tested a little honey with the end of the rod that was in my hand. So now I must what? I must die. Okay? His son even accepts, according to the oath, I must die. All right? Verse 44, Saul answered, God do so and more also, for you shall surely die, Jonathan. You see again, he say, cast the other, then say you die. Then he says it again. Okay, you shall surely die. Verse 45, but the people say to Saul, shall Jonathan die, who has accomplished this great deliverance in Israel? Certainly not. Okay, the people say, techijako, techisoboka. Okay, as the Lord lives, not one hair of his head shall fall to the ground, for he has worked with God this day. Okay, so the people rescued Jonathan, and he did not die. Okay, this guy said it like three times. You know, cast, you die. You know, the man who did it will die. Then he finds out that it is Jonathan, and says, surely you will die. Even Jonathan says, yes, I have to die, you know. And God hadn't answered him because something had gone wrong. An oath, you know. And this guy now, he wants to do it, but the people. By the people. People pleaser. Okay? People pleaser. God is already, he has shown that he's already angry. All right? Because someone said something, he swore an oath, and they are not performing it. You understand? Why? Because of people. And this was Saul's, you know, character, people. You remember? Okay? So someone tells him, wait 7 days. Okay? The seventh day hasn't yet ended, and the guy sees people scattering, and he acts against the commandment of the Lord. Another time, he's supposed to do something against people. Okay? And that wasn't the last time. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 18, from verse 18. Okay? Again, Saul has messed up because of the people. So, Samuel, the prophet, comes to him and tells him that now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners. Go and do what? Utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. But good that he had told him utterly destroy everybody. But now he has spared the king. And the fool still insists that I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Okay. Verse 21. But the people took. Okay. So the excuse. But the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God. Okay. And somewhere in verse 24. Saul again says, I have sinned. I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words. Why? Because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. I did what? I feared the people. Okay? And when you read verse 22 and 23, God will show that he's what? He's not amused. Okay? Verse 23 says that because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. Why was he rejected? Because he fears people. Atiavantu. People pleaser. Okay? Instead of doing things as unto the Lord, first and foremost, for the Lord, Saul was first and foremost people. And when you studied it well, it wasn't actually for the people, it was for himself. It cost him a kingdom. It cost him his rank, man. All right? That's why Colossians 3:23-24 says that whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. You know, not men, knowing that whatever you do, you receive an inheritance from the Lord Christ. You know, you receive the reward of the inheritance. Okay? Now, you see, Saul didn't do that, and he lost the reward or the inheritance. It was so bad that he died. A few hours before he died, he was in a shrine, seeking counsel from a witch. That's how bad it went, man. All right? Glory to God. Okay? So, don't give in to the pressure of people, and you end up ignoring what you know the Lord has told you. Okay? You should be a servant of the Lord. Be diligent to present yourself, okay, approved unto God. A worker, okay, who doesn't need to be ashamed. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Okay? That is a scripture in the final quest, what that writer told Jonah. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Okay? Okay? Another scripture says, as a workman, you know, a worker. So that you know, do be diligent to do your work well, so that you won't be ashamed. How will you be ashamed in heaven? Okay, it's when man, you demoted to low rank because you did not do the will of the Father. You did not do whatever you're supposed to do, you know, for the Lord. You did it for yourself and for people. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, from verse 10. Paul says, he tells the Corinthians, from verse 10, he says, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds. And that is what God is telling us today in this what? Bible study. He says, let each one take heed how he builds. Alright? Take heed how you build. That is, if you're supposed to build. You understand? Okay? If you're supposed to build something, take heed how you build it. Okay? However, if you're not supposed to build, don't build. Because if you build what you're not supposed to build, okay, they are what? Sand castles. They are what? Sand castles. You have read that book, eh? Okay, Anna Runtry, have you read it? Can you check it out on the phone? Eh? Get the book, type in Crystal Clear, and we read that thing. First time I read that thing, man, it was so vivid. You're taken in a vision, man. Experience, eh? Okay? Then man, and then you tells you, man, start building. Auntie, mwagala nyoko lache. Mwagala nyoko zanya. Build. Because that's what you like doing on earth. Okay. You have found it? Good. Okay. Again, it reminds me of this dream I shared on Sunday. Okay. Of a certain prophet who went to heaven some time ago. I don't know when, but anyway. Yeah, he was given an experience, heaven. And while in heaven, he's talking with the Lord. And they're talking about the faithful servants of the Lord, And then this guy mentioned a name of a certain preacher in Uganda, a preacher you all know. You know, he mentioned him as one of the what? The faithful servants of the Lord. And the moment he mentioned that name as one of the faithful servants, the guy was kicked out of heaven. That was the end of his conversation with the Lord. For saying that guy is a what? Hey, you understand? A prophet I know is an authentic guy, and you all know him actually. But I didn't hear the story from him. I heard it from a lady who came to consult me over some funny things happening in a certain what? Fellowship, because she thought, connected, I can talk to some people and correct what is going wrong. Eh? Then I told her, well, I don't, the connections, yes, are there, but, but the thing went wrong already. The whole thing is now nothing. Eh? Okay? According to heaven. It is just kind of human beings who are just being led by the senses who don't know what's happening. Okay? Then she told me, oh, that makes sense because there's this prophet. Then she told me the prophet's name. I was like, I know that guy is real. She said, yeah, he went to heaven. Then he was talking about the faithful son. The moment he mentioned that guy's name, He was, and the Bible even had what? Books on him. He was kicked out of heaven with his books. That was the end of the what? Eh? That was the end of what? Of the communion with the Lord. Okay? These dreams were just keep looking for me. I don't know why. Now, on Easter Monday, you remember? I shared that thing on Sunday, but I had it. I was on Friday. Okay? Now, Easter Monday, I'm somewhere in Ntinda, not at the chef, but near the chef, some other restaurant. This is why now I'm going into these stories. It's because it is not yet 1:30. Yet, we're more or less finished. Now I'm like, we have to know. So, so I'm at that place. Okay. Then, Dennis Mujimba sees me. He was with the wife. Anyway, then they come over. So we begin talking. Then he say, so I ask them, so what are you doing around here? Say, we were just meeting a certain gentleman who we warned about this fellowship. And he immediately what? Like immediately he stopped going there. Okay? But now he had called us because he has a dream which now he didn't understand. Okay, so we had to meet and say, so what was the dream? So they say that the guy that Sunday, Monday morning, he had a dream. In this dream, this preacher who calls him to tell him something, like a prophecy, about what's going to happen in the future. So they meet in the preacher's office, and the preacher tells him that on Wednesday, so this is Monday, says on Wednesday, there are some people, activists, who have gotten interested in your work, who are going to come and then they will take you either to South Africa. Yeah, you know, and then you work with them. Okay? And yeah, something like that. But the guy said, but first of all, he's not in any activist work, activism work, you know. And then he's like, but then I'd left that place. Because I believe that this girl was fake, but now in a dream, he's giving me what? A prophecy. You know, eh? Then the guy said, and, okay? Anyway, as they talk about the dream, he remembered something very important. This is why I always tell people who send me their dreams, I want them to tell me dreams, even those details they think they're insignificant. They can, turn out to be very significant. So the guy say, and by the way, his office in the dream was the office of an organization I used to work with some time ago. Okay? Which organization went bankrupt and it closed. You understand? So in the dream, that was this preacher's what? Office. So now, do you realize how now that detail was very important? An organization which did what? Went bankrupt. Very important. And it closed. Okay? You understand? And that was what now saved the dreamer. That detail. Say, yeah, now you can see. They didn't just say that fellowship is bankrupt. You understand? And it will close. But then it's bankrupt. Or it even, in the spirit, God has no business with it. So in a sense, as far as heaven is concerned, it closed. No wonder some guy was kicked out of heaven for mentioning that guy as one of the what? True servants of the Lord. Okay? And then I was like, oh, so yeah, you wait, what? Wednesday and see if there's anything that will come. Even nothing, eh? Now, I remember years ago, until sometime like recently, any time that guy like came to you in a dream. You just knew it was as good as the Lord. But recently, starting I think from last year, I began to hear dreams where the girl was telling people wrong things. In the past, that wasn't there. Okay? On Sunday, after I preached, okay, again I told these dreams, what? They keep running after me. After I preached, there's a young girl, okay? Judith says, but you call people young girls, but they are, and to me, do you know how old I am? Well, these women, most women are young girls to me. So this young girl comes to me, okay? And to tell me what dreams she had, okay? In one dream, she was at this preacher's fellowship. Then the preacher came to and gave her a prophetic word, something to do with the age of the guy she's going to marry. Okay? Told her he's a month older or younger. And the dream, this girl said, no, that's not true. Now, in the past, such dreams were not there. You know, you guys have known this. In the past, there were never dreams of people disagreeing with this guy in dream. It was, you understand, the moment he says, I dreamt, so-and-so was telling me this, I know, yeah. Now, this young girl will say, no. You understand? This guy was kicked out of heaven. You know, another guy dreamt when he's in an office of a bankrupt organization. All right? Yeah. And so she tells me dreams, you know. Then she told me that one day after she go, in one of the dreams, this preacher asks her that who is Nicodemus? Okay? The preacher asks her, who is Nicodemus? Then she says, it's you. The young girl, she's there at church. And so, then she tells me that one day after this Nicodemus talk, after it came around, that she went back. Now, she has a sister who used to come to LAT, but I haven't seen her in months. Okay? She stopped coming. I don't know why. And so she said that one Sunday, she goes back home and tells the sister that, you know what, Pastor was saying this over Nicole, you know. Then finally she says, I already knew. See what? She said, yes. Last year, the sister tells her that last year I had a dream. In the dream, I saw Nicodemus's car, okay? You know, covered in blood. Okay? Then she adds and says that I also saw Nicodemus himself covered in blood. And the sister tells her, with that dream, that was the end of going to that fellowship. Okay? Then I thought that maybe that's why she also stopped coming to LAT, because she's like, these guys are what? Affiliated. I don't know. Anyway, so the sister asks her that, so why didn't you what? Tell me. She said, I knew that God will one time also do what? Tell you. All right? Yeah, man, these things are so many, so many. You just realize exactly like that guy's dream, thing went bankrupt. A guy was kicked out of heaven for mentioning that name. Now, recently, I heard of a story which they used to, of a girl who died. That some girl died. Then, when was she died? Then, she was in this state in the death. Then what? Jesus appeared to her. Jesus even with the angels had to wait for Nicodemus to come. And then, when he came, he raised her up. Have you heard of that story? Yeah, I hear they used it some time ago, 2 or 3 months ago, to really show that even Jesus had to wait for the guy to come, that this girl was kidnapped by some people, eh? That this girl was kidnapped by some people, then what they, eh? That she died, and then as she did, then just appeared an angel, and then they had to wait for what? Nicodemus to raise her up. Okay? So people, but now, if then a year now it became the theme, man, this guy is so great, can you even Jesus waited? Okay? So they used it apparently, eh? It became viral, I guess, eh? I don't know. Okay? But I bet it was a big deal, eh? Now, I didn't know about that story, but like 3 weeks ago, there's a girl wanted to talk to me. I didn't know any, so we met, so we began to talk about things. Eh? Then, as we talk, she told me that story. Okay, I was like, hey. Then she told me that actually this girl is staying with her. Okay, so now I'm talking to someone who has just left that girl like at home. So like close, you understand? Eh? Then she tells me things about what? This girl. I realize that thing is fake, man. I realize that story is fake. When you hear what this girl, when they tell you who she is, eh? You understand? Eh? First of all, even for her to stay with this girl who I'm talking to, it was control, manipulating her, always telling her, Jesus has said, you know, eh? You could so I realized, if this preacher and this girl didn't connive to create a story, then this girl single-handedly, maybe she wanted to play people and she knows what they want to hear and concocted a story. Man, the girl is fake. You're like, fake. You know, she's always coming up with... Now, the last time I met this girl, the second time, the girl tells me, now, do you know, this girl has told me that she had a vision where Nicodemus was prophesying to me. Therefore, I shouldn't stop attending. Eh? So he say, yeah, so don't stop attending, because you might miss your what? Your prophecy, which I saw in a vision. The girl is fake. She manipulated that into money, you understand? Eh? Until finally she has a man, you have to go, eh? Manipulated the girl into money. Then apparently, one day, this stupid girl called this young girl and told her that now, there's some suits which are on sale. Nicodemus' suits. On sale this amount of money, and you know what, marriage anointing, eh? The suits have impartation, marriage. You haven't heard of those things? But I thought, yes! Suits, eh? Yes, people are buying things, impartation, marriage anointing. So this girl I'm talking to, she received phone calls, suits, 700,000, marriage anointing. You know, eh? And one of the people in that project is that fake girl, man. Who are here, what, who died, what? The thing is fake. If they tell you the person who had the experience, eh? Then you realize now these guys are becoming dangerous, eh? Maybe they were conned, eh? This girl conned them, because now she's now in the inner circle. Because now she's the one man, eh? But she's fake, she's just a... Or, if it wasn't her alone, then... She connived, you understand? Iman gaze, that's how sophisticated these things have become. Bankrupt. You know, eh? Okay, crystal clear. Okay. Hello. A child's voice said, a kid's voice said. I turned and sat up to face her. Are you on a tour? She asked. Yes, I answered. Staring at her, she appeared to be a child of about 5 or 6 years old, but she was shining. She had no wings, and her eyes looked old beyond the years displayed in her small stature. She wore a pale Yeah, something pale. Her hair was curly and tousled as if from play. She looked like a little girl, but every so often I could see through her arm or leg and knew her to be a spirit. She was intriguing. "Have you just begun the tour?" she questioned. "Yes, I think so. Why?" I asked. "I wanted to come and play. Eh? I wanted you to come and play with me." Eh? You see, now a girl eh? Saying, eh? You know, eh? "I wanted you to come play with me," she said. "Play with you?" I said incredulously. "In my sand pile," she said. "Can you come?" Just then the tour guide walked over to us and I stood. I was torn between getting to know this small spirit and continuing my tour. "May I go with..." "What's your name?" I asked her, bending over to question her as one might question a child. "Crystal Clear." "May I go with Crystal Clear for a few minutes?" I asked the tour guide. "Oh, all right," he said. "Meet us at the Almond Grove when you finish." "How will I find it?" I asked. "Crystal Clear will show you the way." "Yes, I will," she said excitedly. "Come along with me." Suddenly, we were on a vast shoreline, but there was no sea. It looked as though the beach was still there, but no ocean. In the sand were all manner of red and blue children's buckets and shovels. "Haven't you always wanted to build a sand castle?" she asked. I chuckled. "Well, not really, Crystal Clear." "Yes, you have," she continued. "Think about it. You have wanted to build on earth, and all of that is sand. When the tide comes in it, it goes away. Even the tools for building remain longer than a sand castle. For the tools are from God. But if you use them to build on the sand instead of in eternity, what do you have? A waste of time," she shrugged. "You have wanted a sand castle. It is silly, really, isn't it?" "I suppose so," I said quietly. I did not want to admit it, but she was right. I had wanted a home and financial security and to accomplish something for God, of course. But I had tunnel vision for the life on earth. I had Christianized the gospel of the world and bought into my own or packaging. It was a bitter thing to hear that the focus of my life had been fleshly and worthless to God and that I had gotten away with it. "Do you want to play?" she continued. I felt a little sick. I thought I would change the subject. "Why such a large sand area?" I asked. "Many want to build on sand, so we let them. Okay? It gets it out of their systems, you know. Maybe if you build on the sand right now, you would feel, I have done that." "It seems a silly thing to do," I said, stonily. "Yes, it does. However, building on the earth is really the same. Silly toys that are long forgotten here. Toys that do not even gather dust in the attic, but disintegrate and are totally forgotten here. A waste of God's precious time," she said much too breezily. I had the taste of a copper penny in my mouth. "Is it all right if we do not play today?" I asked. "Oh, all right," she said. "Do you want to join the tour?" Anyway, and it goes on. But the angel, you know, she came as a little child, and her name was Crystal Clear. Telling her crystal clearly that you guys on earth, you're just building sand castles. Okay, that is the Bible study today. But we didn't finish. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, from verse 10. Yeah, he said, "According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. All right? For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. Will become what? Crystal clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Okay? He's just saying that if we build sand castles, they will come to nothing on that day. Okay? Therefore, whatever we do, let us do it as unto the Lord and not to men. Knowing that for whatever we do, okay, we shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Let us not be like that great writer, okay, who didn't get a reward in heaven. Eh? If he got, it was so little. That's why he was low ranking in heaven. Because he used the talents, the gifts, the great mind God gave him as a thinker, as a writer. He used it, okay, to draw people to himself, okay, to make people see, wow, you're great, you know, and man, it cost him a reward in heaven. All right? Glory be to God.